Ugly Dolls, which is directed by Kelly Asbury, whose previous animations include Gnomeo and Juliet and Smurfs The Lost Village, and written by a first-time screenwriter, Alison Peck, but with a story by Robert Rodriguez, of all people. So while Quentin Tarantino's off making Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Robert Rodriguez is writing these sort of very bizarre franchise-based animated movies. Unlike Dora, which is a film that you can just walk into and enjoy, you know, without any foreknowledge of the property on which it's based, I think Ugly Dolls benefits from a little bit of awareness, at least, of what it is. It's a soft toy range of these sort of blob creatures, which are, I mean, they're called ugly. They're actually very cute, but they're cute in strange ways. So they've got ears sticking out at funny angles, and, you know, odd numbers of eyes, and teeth coming out hither and yon. And they reminded me of you remember the Pete Fowler artwork for the Super Furry Animals?
Oh yeah.
In the late 90s, that monsterism thing. They're like slightly safer versions of that monsterism aesthetic. So anyway, these toys were created in a factory and did not meet the quality control levels, so they're shuffled out and sent off to a place called Uglyville, kind of like the reject bin in the Raggy Dolls, that TV series. You remember, where there was like one doll that looked a bit like a biscuit and another one whose head was backwards. It's the same idea that all these dolls that are not up to snuff have to live together and dream one day of being chosen by a kid who will love them and take them home anyway, regardless of their flaws. One of those dolls is called Moxie, who's voiced by Kelly Clarkson, who decides to take matters into her own hands and stages this escape with some of her friends back up the tunnel and into another sort of strange metaphysical zone called Perfection, where the dolls that do pass muster are being groomed and finessed and trained for a life of being played with. The ruler of Perfection is a doll called Lou, who's voiced by Nick Jonas, and he's the guy who's in charge of grooming them for the real world. And here are the ugly dolls fretting about what such a training exercise might involve.
So, are you really here just to train for the big world?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You bet. And we're all going to end up with our own special kid to love.
You do know that Lou is going to make it super hard, right?
Well, I say bring it on, Louis.
He means well, of course. Though he can be a bit judgmental.
You think?
Still, without his constructive criticism, none of us would ever get anywhere. So just stay on his good side.
Ow! Ooh, cool glasses. I always wanted some specs.
Ooh, yeah.
Excuse me, I feel smarter already.
No. Do I look wiser?
Oh, yeah.
No, please, just... Please!
Huh? We're sorry.
Please don't say anything, guys. Especially not to Lou.
Lots of dolls wear glasses in Uglyville. Even Five-Eyed Steve.
This is the Institute of Perfection. And perfect dolls have perfect eyesight.
Oh!
Man, and I thought I had issues.
So the doll that's very self-conscious about wearing glasses is Janelle Monáe, voiced by Janelle Monáe. And I think that kind of encapsulates my main issue with the film, is like its definition of ugly. And because the brand is ugly dolls, like that's the thing this film is ultimately trying to sell. The word ugly comes up time over and over and over and over again. Now, clearly the moral of the film is it doesn't matter, you know, let's not kind of make value judgments based on people's appearances. But the fact that it harps on the word ugly consistently and will tie it to things like wearing glasses. Now, I wear glasses. I don't like to kind of walk around thinking
you're about very handsome.
Thank you. Yeah, no, that's very kind of you to say. Yeah. But, you know, to have that in a film that's aimed at kids who, my kids wear glasses as well, you know, and do I really necessarily want them to have a character wrestling with that? I think the solution to kids feeling anxious about wearing glasses, just have a character with glasses and don't comment on it. But so I think the film, in trying to talk about ugliness, and particularly with that word, and just doing it constantly, completely undermines what it's trying to achieve. I also think that another enormous problem with it is that once you've seen Toy Stories 1 through 4, you've seen everything that films about toys, sentient toys, can do. You know, this idea that toys need to be loved by a kid, and that's basically lifted, I'm sure not deliberately, but that is a lift of the Gabby Gabby storyline in Toy Story 4. Incredibly, there's an ugly doll in this that calls itself Sporkle, like Forky. Mm. You know, I mean, and again, has this kind of head with the prongs coming out of it, which just seems like this incredible, I mean, it's totally by accident, but when watching it, you're just thinking, yeah, this is so derivative of Toy Story. Even one of the characters looks like a spork. And again, there's a sequence where they're all facing death on a conveyor belt like Toy Story 3. This is stuff that you've seen time and time again. The slight difference from Toy Story is that it's an out-and-out musical. And there are wall-to-wall, and I mean wall-to-wall, Katy Perry-style empowerment ballads. Now, I don't know what your tolerance level is for Katy Perry-style empowerment ballads. Mine, I kind of one and done, you know. And actually, the opening one, I think it's called Couldn't Be Better, performed by Kelly Clarkson, who, of course, is a singer. It's actually quite good. But when it settles into this rhythm of big, splashy empowerment ballad and then minor key coda at the end, you know, just to reinforce, oh, they don't really feel so great about themselves after all. It does this for every single musical number in the film. And again, it just feels incredibly derivative. And in the end, the plot as well, which involves so much ping-ponging back and forth between Uglyville and perfection, is deeply, deeply muddled. I think, you know, this is not a Playmobil-style marketing disaster, but it does feel, at the end of the day, like a long advert. And when there's something like Dora, which just does something so charming and so straightforward, to have all this extraneous faff and mess and, you know, lesson teaching, you know, you must go out of this film with a new idea about what it's like, you know, this is stuff that kids grapple with every day. I get it. But to approach in this way feels completely wrong and actually, as I say, undermining the lesson more than reinforcing it.